Thank you so much, Dan and Olivia and Anne and Alec and Joseph and the band, just for helping us to grieve and remember and be in the Lord's presence together. And, you know, I'm so thankful for this amazing church family where we have the privilege of marking these kind of moments together, of pressing into God's presence together, of learning and growing and trying to help bring hope to those in need in our city. And I know that last Sunday was a very special Sunday as we did that. God was doing some wonderful things, and one of the things that he's been doing is touching our hearts. So last Sunday we had our gift day for the church and the city, particularly for those ministries that are part of the church and connected with the church and that we partner with, bringing hope to those who are most in need. We've been giving towards our Debt Advice Center and the work with the homeless, and even to the amazing work that happens with our children and young people as they head out just now. And you know, amazingly, gift day total so far has just been such a joy to see. We have it up here on the screen, 33,985. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? I am so thankful for the amazing generosity of this wonderful people that we have the huge privilege of being a part of. I know it's an ongoing story of God touching our hearts for those in need. And if you've not had a chance yet to be part of that story and you'd like to, then do please use our link on our website, hrbc.org.uk/giving. And whether it's part of our regular giving or part of that gift day, you can be still part of that. But I am so filled with thankfulness and just amazed by God's faithfulness over many years, even in this time, to work through us for serving others. So I'd love to just pray, to give thanks. And also, as God was just moving yesterday, last Sunday, by his Spirit, someone passed me something at the end of the service. It was Helen Wheeler, who leads our youth work. And I've been kind of carrying it and been blessed by it many times. And so as part of my prayer, I'm just going to read that as well. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you're the hope bringer. You're the faithful one in challenging times. And Lord, as we've been remembering different situations and need all around the world, we thank you, God, that you've placed us here in Brighton where we can as well bring hope to those in need here. Lord, we thank you for all the amazing generosity that's just been poured out in recent days. And Lord, we just say to you be all the glory and the praise. And would you take and use all that has been given, all that's given week by week for the extension of your kingdom and the glory of your name here in this city and around the world. So Lord, we just say, come Holy Spirit. Come, keep speaking to us as you've been doing through these songs and these prayers, as you were doing last week as we were looking at that amazing passage in Galatians. And Lord, we thank you for the different ways you were speaking through the service. And God, we just come and say again, Lord Jesus, open our hearts that we might be ready to hear. Lord, thank you for this word that was just shared at the end of last Sunday with me. Lord, we just pause with attentive hearts. Glory. It's all about God's glory. It's good to search for the glory of God, to go up together to the house of God and seek his presence. But really what we long for is your glory. Part the skies and come down. Let your glory fall on us. Let your glory fall. Let your glory fall on us. Lord, thank you for your presence. Lord, change us in your presence, we ask. Amen. Amen. Well, I find that often as I'm preparing a message, I'm just kind of living with thinking, God, what are you wanting to say? What are you speaking through your word? And as I've been preparing for this Remembrance Sunday, I found myself noticing things around that, are reminders of Remembrance Sunday. And I was driving just the other week past Rottingdean, and in Rottingdean, I noticed this memorial. Maybe many of you have driven past it or noticed it before. It was there just like so many memorials, just scattered across our city and our nation. And this was the little line that grabbed my attention. At the very top on the right-hand picture, it just says, "Lest we forget." And I thought about how many memorials across our nation have that little phrase, "Lest we forget." And it found myself thinking, even as we continue driving on, what are the things that we mustn't forget? What are the things that we're in danger of forgetting, that men and women thought we need to put this out there and remind people and even have a Remembrance Sunday? What do we need to remember today? And I found myself just jotting down some things. Many of them we've touched on already in the service. I found myself writing down, we need to remember the pain that conflict causes. Found myself jotting down that we need to remember the people that could be forgotten. We'll come to that. Found myself jotting down that we need to remember the price that freedom costs. And as I thought about these themes of Remembrance Sunday, I thought, these are there in Galatians, this book that we've been studying in recent weeks. If you've been journeying that with us, and if you're here just for today, then you're so welcome. And I want to do something a bit different this Sunday. I want to use those kind of themes that are there in Remembrance Sunday that are also there in the book of Galatians. And rather than just focus on one passage, I want to go and look at some different parts of Galatians that we've been looking at already and remind ourselves of the power of God's word to speak into our situation today. And so first then, remember the pain that conflict causes. This past week, I found a poem written by Vyacheslav Konovalov, a Ukrainian poet. And he's wanted to write, particularly in English at this time, to try and help people around the world see some of the impact of the devastating war and the deep emotions in his own country. And so this is one of his poems. It's called Hot Trenches. June's tiring heat is here. Thirst torments every minute. In the summer, salty sweat felt squatting in trenches. The battle doesn't inspire. Russian generals chase soldiers. They look and act like flocks. Soldiers wandering weakly across the field, drowning in a massacre, they are deeply in shock. The projectile pulls up the ground from under strong Ukrainian feet. The defender is bent down, being machine gun sheltered. Military armada strikes with the summer heat. I find it reminded me of poems I learned at school written 100 years ago. But the thing that struck me was, this was written in the summer of this year. You know, some famous things have been said about war. This is maybe one of them by Brock Hesselm, who said, "No one wins a war." It's true, there are degrees of loss, but no one wins. You know, war and conflict bring loss and death and devastation. Many of us have been remembering people, loved ones, maybe grandparents and others who have been impacted through loss, or even close family and members in other countries. But the thing is that it's not just that people get hurt and maimed in big conflicts of history, but in everyday conflicts of life. You know, it's the pain that comes when we find ourselves at tensions with our neighbors or with our siblings or with our parents or with our children. Sometimes the pain of those feels so great, even on a day like today. You know, and the book of Galatians, Paul's been speaking into that. He says in Galatians 5:15, we have it up here on the screen. We looked at it a couple of Sundays ago. He said, if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. What a verse that speaks about the pain of conflict. A reminder that, we sometimes talk about, the kids were fighting like cats and dogs. Except the challenge is when cats and dogs fight, there's a kind of almost like that biting and devouring each other. And it's so easy that people get hurt, deeply, deeply hurt. I wonder what hurt you're carrying from conflict that's been going on around you. Maybe in the past, maybe even right now. We often aren't aware of the pain that's there in people's lives. One of the wonderful things about this church is there is that grace and honesty, and people do share with one another and within their communities and other settings, just of the pain and brokenness, but there is pain in all of our lives. One of the things that was so moving for me this week is that as I approach these days, I often have some particular people in mind who I know are deeply touched by this day. And one of them was Chris Culver. I was thinking of you, Chris, because Chris's son serves in the armed forces. And often on this day, those are particularly poignant times when we remember those who are serving around the world. And he's overseas at the moment. So I saw Chris during the week and I said, oh, Chris, I've been thinking of you. And she said, well, actually, this is quite a special time because it's 50 years since Chris Culver first came to know Christ and came to Holland Road. And Chris said, I've been writing down my story. And she sent it through to me this week. And I found it so moving as I read it that I asked Chris's permission to share some bits of it with you today. So this is what Chris writes. She says this, thinking about just some of the reality of the pain that is often there in so many lives. But she says this, if the first nine years of my life are remembered as a time of great joy, and she describes some of that so beautifully, but don't have time to do all of that this morning. But she says the following 9 years were marked by sadness and loss. My parents divorced. I'd been largely shielded from the troubles and was too young to really understand what was going on. Unlike my older siblings, it was a massive shock to me to wake up one morning and find my mum had gone. One of my brothers died. Again, I had not known how ill he was and that he would not get better. My dad remarried and my sister Pam and I went to live with him and his new wife. It was not a positive experience for any of us. Looking back, I can understand the difficult task it was for her. She was a widow with one adult son and suddenly had to take on two teenage girls. But at the time, we saw her as our wicked stepmother. So I lost my mum, my brother, my best friend, and my home in a very short space of time. Eventually, after a long and painful court battle, I went to live with my mum. During my late teens, I began to search for something to fill the void and take away the pain. And at varying times, shared this search with my mum and my sister Mary. It's wonderful, Mary, to have you here as well. Between us, we must have investigated every ism and ology going, including getting into some very dark and inadvisable things. And I just want to pause the story there. Because I think that's often what happens for many, many of us, that we look for ways to alleviate the pain. I mean, that's happening in spades in our nation and the nations right now. We look to all kinds of things, searching, maybe even just for distraction to try and distract ourselves from the pain. And you know what's striking about Remembrance Sunday? Is this is a day where we deliberately remember the pain. Because the pain is real. The pain is very real. And the problem is, it's not just pain in the past, because wars don't just happen in the past. The shocking thing is that they keep happening. They keep happening. We have to help our kids be prepared for whatever lies ahead. But one thing we know is that it's not just a problem that happens in history or a problem even that happens over there. The problem of conflict is a problem that runs deep. The problem, as we've seen in the book of Galatians, is a problem in our heart. Even within my heart and your heart, Paul writes, there is conflict. There is in us a desire to do one thing, and actually God's word and God's spirit encourages us to do something else far better, to live a life of love and joy and peace. And yet what our sinful, selfish part of us does, it leads to things that Galatians 5 describes a whole list, and I just want to pick out two. It talks about rage and factions. Boy, do we see that. And so on this day, as we remember, we got to ask ourselves, why do we keep having conflicts? Well, partly it's because we forget that no one wins. And partly it's because we forget how deep is the problem. The problem starts in each and every one of us, in our selfishness. And so when we remember the pain of the past, and brothers and sisters, in the Bible, remembrance always is tied in with action as well. As we remember the pain of conflict causes, let's strive afresh to be peacemakers. Just like Olivia read for us in Psalm, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. Let's strive to be those in our lives and situations and neighborhood. Wherever we have influence, let's be those who know the pain of the conflict and so strive to bring peace. But secondly, I want to just talk maybe a bit more briefly about how, as we think about these monuments, as we remember this time of year, and we think about the little phrase, lest we forget, one of the key things that we need to remember is the people that could be forgotten. Again, we've got the monument in Rottingdean that just sort of highlights some of this. As we try and remember the people who could be forgotten, actually so many of the monuments have lists of names. You know, it says, lest we forget, and then it has below that some kind of words which I'll come to later, but it then lists these names, David Avis, Joseph Avis. I wonder if they're from the same family, maybe brothers or father and son. James Beer, Albert Davis, Percy Day, William Driver, Dennis Fowler, Gerald Stacey, Herbert Stevens, Edward Stiles, Charles Surtees, John Titchener, John Wheatley, Charles Beck, James Moore, real people, real names. Because you see, it's all too easy to forget people's lives, people who've been impacted by war, people who've died, people who've been injured, people who've been maimed, people who've been forced to be refugees. And I'm mindful of those who've come to our nation with that reality going on in their homeland. You know, I'm very mindful that it's so often in war the poor who suffer most. I wonder if you've kind of think why that is. Why is it the poor suffer most? Well, often they cannot get away so easily from the conflict. And so often the poor are those who suffer because the impact of war is to cause poverty. And we're all feeling and seeing something of the impact of war that causes growing poverty in the wake around it. And so that's not just true in our day. That was true in Paul's day. You know, in Paul's day, there was Roman occupation over a huge kind of region, and there were many poor that could easily have got forgotten. And so Paul, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 10, and again, maybe a month or so ago, we looked at this verse, but it's kind of kept coming back to us as we think about not just how do we remember, but how do we act. And this is what Galatians 2:10 says. The Apostle Peter was speaking to the Apostle Paul, and Paul writes, remembering this, he said, all they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I'd been eager to do. And so we've been seeking to do the same. We're eager to do the same. But as we go on through this cost of living crisis, that's going to be something so important for us to continue to do. But you know, the irony is that these war monuments are not just lists of names of people who've been impacted by war or felt the pain of it. They are the very people who helped us have the freedom that we have today, and yet we easily forget those we owe so much to. It is staggering, isn't it, that we can be reminded and told, you know, don't forget the people you owe so much to. But again, this is the reality that Paul is trying time and again in the book of Galatians to say, really, there's one name that you're in danger of forgetting above all else. There's one person who's enabled your freedom, that church in Galatia, church at Holland Road, church across the world, you're in danger of forgetting. And it's the one who, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 to 5, Paul kind of starts his letter like this. He says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who's come to rescue us. In fact, Christmas is the time when we remember that our rescuer has come to set us free. Amen? And yet, I'm passing Starbucks and I'm seeing the Christmas kind of, adverts, and I'm thinking, oh, Christmas is coming. And I look on the TV and the Christmas adverts have started to come. And I'm looking and I'm thinking, there's a lot about Christmas, but there's a name that seems to be getting forgotten in our nation. There's a name that's kind of the one who brings freedom, and the reason for celebration somehow gets forgotten, even at a time like this. And so, brothers and sisters, we need to remember the name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above all names, the one that we mustn't forget. As we come on Remembrance Sunday, he alone is the light bringer, the one who brings hope and freedom like no others. And yet it's amazing how easily we even, those who maybe come to church and call ourselves Christians, we kind of end up living on Monday or Tuesday with a functional atheism, forgetting that it's all about him and what he has done. And that brings us lastly then to this amazing truth that we need to remember the price that freedom costs. Remember the price that freedom costs. On that plaque on the side, kind of chiseled into the memorial in Rottingdean, it says this, lest we forget 1914 to 1918, and then it writes this, to our glorious dead who by their supreme sacrifice made it possible for others to live in freedom. You know, many memorials and services have that kind of sentiment today. We talk about those who sacrificed their lives that we might enjoy the freedom that we have today. You see, freedom has a cost. Can you just say that with me? Freedom has a cost. Don't forget it. Why does it have a cost? Why is it so costly to have freedom? Aren't we all born free? Don't we all just naturally live free? Well, the Bible helps explain what is actually the reality that we often choose to ignore, and that is that actually we're born slaves to sin. The world is kind of been... the Bible calls it the prince of this world is like the enemy who's trying to steal and destroy. And the thing is that Jesus' rescue came to bring freedom and a new rule and reign, the kingdom of God, the prince of peace, the one who rules with gentleness and love. And yet what happened is that to bring that freedom, the only way he could bring that freedom was to die on the cross for you and I. You see, Jesus doesn't negotiate with evil. He defeats it. He conquers it. But the way he conquered it was through death. And so again, what we see time and again in the book of Galatians is this theme that Jesus has died, and he's died so that you and I can live free, and that we too can then, like Jesus, be willing to embrace the cost that comes from helping bring freedom to others. So Paul writes in Galatians 2:20, one of my favorite verses in the book of Galatians, he says this, I have been crucified with Christ, the one who died. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, that's Jesus, who loved me and gave himself for me. So that we become those who are free by Jesus to join him in bringing freedom to others. And you know, it's wonderful when we see that happening. That's one of the reasons, Chris, I loved your story, because you were remembering the foundation that brought your freedom as you were reflecting back from those years ago. And you know, so often as a nation, we want the benefit of freedom, but we forget the foundation of freedom that brought that liberation. You know, the foundation goes and the whole thing goes. It's true in our own lives. It's true in our nation. And so what is the foundation that you're building your life and your freedom on? Well, one of the things that is wonderful to do is to remember, okay, where did my salvation come from? And Chris has been doing that this week, thinking back 50 years, and this is what she writes just after the bit I was sharing. She will pick up the story again where she said she investigated every ism, ology going, including getting into some very dark and isn't visible things. And then she writes this. She says, at 17, I started working as a cadet nurse and lived in the nurse's home at Southlands Hospital. And one evening I was in my room together with a group of other girls conducting a seance. This involved sitting around a table with each of us having our finger on a drinking glass in the middle of the table. And after a short while, the tumbler crumbled into pieces in front of our eyes. I've never been so scared in my life. And we quickly turned the light on and opened the door of my room. Several girls in the next room heard the commotion and came out to find us. At this point, I discovered that they were Christians and had been praying against this activity that we were doing. If their God was this powerful, I needed to find out more about him. And they shared the gospel with me, and I responded immediately. It was Sunday, the 5th of November, 1972, 50 years ago, this past week or so. Some of the girls came to Holland Road, so they brought me along the following Sunday. Everyone was welcoming and friendly. It was a very emotional day. Chris was baptized in March 1973. She started attending the Young People's Fellowship, and she shared her newfound faith with her friends and family, and she couldn't understand why they didn't immediately all want to believe in Jesus. But she does write this. Very soon after that, my mum and one of my sisters also became Christians, and I'm still praying for the rest of the family. And so Chris and Mary, it's just wonderful to see what God has been doing in your lives and family, and we continue to pray for others, that this God who causes the power of evil to crumble, this God who doesn't negotiate with evil but brings his victory, his freedom into our lives at great personal cost, that God, Jesus Christ, he is the one who can transform your lives and ours. He is the one who, wherever there is pain, wherever there is conflict, he is able to bring hope and peace. Wherever there's darkness, he's able to bring light. You know, it's no coincidence that so many of our memorials have crosses on them. Again, as I just passed this Rottingdean memorial, I looked up and I saw, not just lest we forget, but at the cross, at the top of the monument, there's this cross. Don't forget the cross. Don't forget the power of the cross. Don't forget the freedom that Jesus has won for us. Don't forget the peace that he is able to bring. Don't forget that his light dispels all darkness. Don't forget that there is power that Jesus has to break down every stronghold of the enemy, to literally crumble it to nothing. That is the power that we come to remember today. That's why we remember and look back. Yes, with grief in our hearts, but we don't grieve as those who have no hope, because Jesus Christ has won the victory. Amen? Jesus Christ is here, the risen Lord, and he wants to bring his light, his hope, his presence, his freedom to you and I even now. He wants us to be agents of carrying through our prayers and our lives that light to others. And so I'm just going to invite you to stand. The band's going to come back up, and we're going to press into the presence of the risen Jesus together. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Come fill this place. May your glory fall. May your presence, King Jesus, our rescuer, the one who died and who lives forevermore, who's conquered death, paid the penalty for my sin and our sin. Jesus, we welcome you. And if you're here and you've never, like Chris did, put your trust in Jesus Christ. If you just think, even today, I just want to say, I believe in you, Jesus, then as we remember the freedom that Jesus won for us, that turning to him in faith is the most wonderful thing you could do today. I'm just going to pray for you right now. You might even want to echo this in your heart. Say, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, sorry for the sin and my own life and the pain I've caused others. Lord, thank you that you died for my freedom. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. I believe you can set me free. Lord, free from my sin, the power of it in my life. Lord, free from the pain and hurt in my life that the sin of others has caused. So, Lord, come fill me with your Spirit that I might live in your freedom. Bring your light into my life. Lord, you're here. I believe and trust in you. And I want to invite just any of us that just feel led by the Lord, maybe even all of us, to just be part of that bringing in our prayers light into different situations around the world, or even in our own city and people we know, and just come and light a candle. There's something powerful as we come and pray. Just God, may your light come into that situation, that place, that person. Jesus, would you, the light of the world, dispel the darkness that's there? And just as you feel there, just come and light a candle, say a prayer as we worship and remember the presence of God in this place, and the presence of God that can go with our prayers into any place. Hallelujah.